It's my privilege to be the speaker of the day. Thought I would take a page out of Mike's book and open with a few funnies. So these are answers that kids gave on a test at a Catholic primary school. One kid had put, in the first book of the Bible, Guinness, God got tired of creating, so he took the Sabbath off. Another one said, Lot's wife was a pillar of salt by day, but a ball of fire during the night. And then when the three wise guys from the east side arrived, they found Jesus in the manger. Another one, Jesus was born because Mary had an immaculate contraption. And Christians have only one spouse. This is called monotony. Allegedly, those are true. And anyways, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to look into your word. We thank you for your word, Lord. It is a light to our feet, a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. We thank you for that, Lord, and pray that you'd give us wisdom and insight as we study your word, that we could hear what you want to say to us today. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So I was at work a week or two ago. I was working on the headlight on a truck, and I had the bulb out, and I was looking at this headlight bulb, and it was a 9012 bulb. That's the number on it, a 9012. So as soon as I said that, Psalm 90, verse 12 is what came to mind. And later on when I got home, I looked up that verse, and when I got there, Psalm 90, verse 12. Verse 12 was already underlined, and it was the only verse on those pages that was underlined. So I thought that's more than just a coincidence. Psalm 90, verse 12, it says, "So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." And so we're going to take a look at Psalm 90, and just a few fun facts about Psalm 90. It's the only psalm that is attributed to Moses. Though there could be other ones that he had written, maybe, but this is the only one that has his name on it. And it's more of a prayer, really, than anything, Moses' prayer for the people. And so, being that it's written by Moses, it's possible that could be the oldest of all the psalms that are written, possibly 700 or 800 years before David wrote his psalms. So that's a little bit interesting. And so I kind of want to look at this in two ways. And the first way is to take a look at Psalm 90. And then in the second part, I want to take a bit of a look at Moses' life and example. And so I will read verses 1 and 2. It says, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, wherever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." So he begins by acknowledging the greatness of God. And we consider the life of Moses. He had experienced the greatness of God and God's power in many ways, in all the things he had seen, from a burning bush to plagues in Egypt and crossing the Red Sea, and water from the rock, manna from heaven, all these miracles we can read about. Moses was very familiar with the power of God, and he acknowledges that. And that that God is the same God that we serve today, and that power is the same power that's still available. God hasn't changed. God is still great. Moving on from verse 3, he says, "You turn man to destruction and say, 'Return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. In the morning, they are like grass which grows up. In the morning, it flourishes and grows up. In the evening, it is cut down and withers. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath, we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath." So Moses acknowledges the weakness of man and the brevity of life. And as we know, time is a precious commodity, something that all the money in the world can't buy more time. And the older we get, we have less time, and the time we have seems to run faster and faster. So time is short. I remember as a kid, summertime, summer holidays, those 2 months, they seemed to go on forever. 2 months was a long time as a kid. But now that I've grown up a bit, it seems like summer goes faster every year, and that's the way time is, so time is short. Moses had an understanding of that. He said even 70 years, maybe 80, and might be all that we get. So Moses was familiar with death. He had seen a lot of people die. And he understood the shortness of time and how quickly your life can be over. Reading on from verse 12. "So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. So Moses had an understanding of the shortness of life, but he also understood that it's only by the grace of God that our life can be significant and meaningful. It's God who allows us to accomplish things that have eternal value. And so, relying on God, relying on God to give us wisdom, how to use our time wisely for things that have eternal value and are significant. Something Moses seemed to understand, and something that we need to understand as well. I think we need all the help that we can get, because we're very easily distracted by all the bright lights and shiny things in this life. Take our time and attention, but not everything has eternal value, so we need help to have the right priorities. So that's part one. Part two, I kind of want to take a look at Moses' life and his example, and just reflecting on the idea of time. So we all have an appointed time. None of us are here by accident, but God has a great design for for each one of us, and there are no mistakes or coincidences in God's kingdom. He has us here at a specific time, specific place, for a specific purpose, whatever God's purpose is. And we look at the life of Moses. God put him in that place at that time because of a specific plan that he had. It was no accident that Moses was born when he was born or where he was born, but it was part of God's design. And it's the same for us. We might feel insignificant at times, but we're here for a reason and a purpose, and that's God's design for us, that we should be here at this place and at this time. And we need God's help to understand what the specific purpose is. That's point number one. So point number two is evaluating the use of our time. And I want to read a little bit from Exodus chapter 33, beginning from verse 7. It says, Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. So it was, whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, when Moses entered the tabernacle, that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshipped, each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. I like that little bit about Joshua at the end there. That would be a good study for another day. But just considering the use of our time and looking at Moses, he was a man who spent a lot of time in the presence of God. Whether meeting him in the tabernacle or meeting him on the mountain, wherever he spent a lot of time in God's presence, he gave God his time. And so considering our own lives, how much time do we give to God? Do we give him the first fruits, or do we give him the leftovers? And one of the challenges we have in our lives, we are very busy people, and we easily spend time on other things. But I was considering, what would happen if I tithed my time, if I gave God 10% of my time? The first 2.4 hours out of every day, what that would look like. If I gave God that much time, how much he could renovate my life. But spending time with God is a good investment, and the more we give him, the better it will be for us. The more time we can give to God. And we can see that throughout the Bible, but in the life of Moses, he spent a lot of time with God. He relied on God continuously. That's point number two. Point number three, God can use us at any time as long as we are willing to be used. Moses was 80 years old before God really began to use him. And we often think we're too young, or we're too old, or whatever it might be, but God can use us at any time. As long as we are willing to be used, God's kingdom and God's plans are different than the way that we look at things. God looks at time differently, and he can use us at any time. So I often pray, maybe rather than asking to be used, but pray to ask God to make me usable so that he can use me. It's God who makes us to be usable. So, in conclusion, I would say it's never too late until it is too late. I don't want to be on my deathbed one day and have a lot of regrets that I wasted my time on things that were insignificant or things that were not valuable. It's God who gives us the wisdom to know what is valuable. And that's back to verse 12. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So we need God to give us the wisdom to invest our time in things that are valuable for his glory, for his kingdom. And I think that's where I'm going to stop. Short and sweet. But I'll close in prayer. Lord, again, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that we can read these stories. We can learn from the example of others, Lord, and considering the life of Moses and his experience, Lord, and his prayer in this psalm, we pray the same, Lord, that you would give us wisdom to use our time wisely for things that glorify you and can build your kingdom. We pray, Lord, that you would make us to be usable, that you can use us for your plans and for your purposes, Lord. Help us to be willing and ready to be used by you. Give us the wisdom that we need, Lord. Help us and protect us from distractions and things that take our time unnecessarily. Thank you, Lord, that you bear with us and you love us. You give us grace and mercy, and you're always there for us. We thank you for that, Lord. And thank you again for your word. I pray these things in Jesus' name.